Well, that's a very wonderful, exciting session I'm sharing with you. It's mostly PowerPoints, and this one I got from Dr. Don Little. We have a partnership, a working relationship with the Lilias Trotter Center in Houghton University, New York State. And for the last 3 years, we have been working together with them. We run two modules a year. 1 week modules in Nairobi, where people from the whole of East Africa come. So you are welcome if you want to come up for a week, the last week in June and the last week in November. This next one will be on and reaching out to Muslims. And in November, John Gilchrist will be coming up to Nairobi because it will be on evangelism and apologetics. And since apologetics is his special side, that will be very specific. Now, God is at work in the Muslim world today and in the midst of Islamic radicalization. And that is really something wonderful. Yeah. Okay, let me do it that way. So, things are happening in the Muslim world. In Cairo, there's an annual prayer conference where many people come together. And after the launch of the Egyptian revolution in 2011, much prayer was offered by the Coptic Christians, especially in Egypt and the whole of the Middle East, because it looked really very, very frightening. In July 2014, 1,400 8 to 14-year-olds, youth, teenagers, came together near Cairo to pray for themselves and for their nation. Okay, still having this problem. Okay, I see. Let me. Something has been changed so that it's not coming on. So the Coptic Church also had this 12-hour night of prayer. Okay, we have cleared out all the rubbish and that was holding it up. So now we can move on. There were some 25,000 Christians gathering, the largest worship service in Egypt in modern times. It would not have happened if Morsi would not have come to power, and through that a desire and a prayer movement was stirred up. There is this cave, I'm sure some of you have heard about that, where they were meeting. I think the 1 minute clip is not working and time is also too precious. But it was really, it's quite exciting what God has been doing there. So, God is at work in the midst of Islamic radicalization. Following this extraordinary time of corporate prayer, God began to work. In the election 2012, the Muslim Brotherhood won the victory. So there were these huge protests at Tahrir Square that we are all aware of. And then July 3rd, 2013, Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood was removed from power. Our friend Don Little met up with Pastor Afif, you can see the excitement in his eyes about what God is doing. That is going back to 2013, where he met with him. Pastor Afif had founded a mission some 15 years earlier, Arabs for the Arabs, to reach out and do church planting across the Arab world from Jordan. There's a real renewal and revival in the Orthodox Church in Egypt. And so here is the interview that was done in 2014 via Skype. So, that was just a brief test. It's a bit difficult to listen into it, but we certainly can sense some of the excitement that has come through. And I think many of you are also aware of what happened about all these Egyptians that were beheaded by ISIS there at the beach in Libya. They all came from one village, and they were a tremendous testimony worldwide. Many Muslims saw that on television as well, and were deeply moved by the way that they were faithful to Jesus right to the end, and also the forgiveness that was extended by their families from that particular part of Egypt was an enormous testimony. The Bible Society published a pamphlet that was bringing out the biblical message, and they were distributing that widely at that time. That was also a marvelous testimony. I brought some along, so later on, let me see, is it? Yes. Mm-hmm. So for those who don't know it, two rows by the sea, just take one and pass on a few of the others so you can look at them. That was an enormous testimony to see the two powers, the love of Christ and then the satanic desire to destroy. Okay, so that Egypt, but there's also the Syrian conflict and the site of radical Islam and the whole refugee crisis. We are sometimes not aware, especially also people in my home country, in Germany, about the enormous amount of refugees that have been taken in by the neighboring countries. Turkey, 2.5 million. Lebanon, over 1 million, and that's a small, small country. So that's about a fifth or even more than that. It's just refugees that have come in to find a place. And in Jordan, and 2 years ago, we were in Jordan visiting there our friend, and we were quite thrilled that the evangelical church that we visited had a specific outreach to these refugees. And we had the privilege to go out with them one evening with a food parcel that they were delivering to these refugees. This family came from the heartland of Iraq, where they had to flee before ISIS moved into their town. So there's a lot happening that we don't hear of too much, but it's also wide open opportunities. Christians in the region are responding to the flood of refugees, and God is at work through that. In Beirut, Lebanon, many are caring for Muslim refugees. Some churches have doubled. There are so many of these refugees. By the way, we also have that in Kenya. In our building, the Eritrean Fellowship is meeting, and apart from the missionary couple that is also sent out from Germany to work with them, almost all the others are refugees that are waiting for being rehabilitated or sent somewhere to the West. So these are wide open doors where one can reach people in need. So the Resurrection Church in Beirut, wow, that is quite something to see numbers like that. It wasn't like this before. I still think back of the time when I visited Morocco in 1974, and we knew there are few Christians. We came to Rabat, capital, and we were at a house fellowship. And in that house fellowship, maybe 10 or 12 Christians would meet from time to time. One of them, Rahman, had been to Lausanne, Switzerland, for the Lausanne World Congress. And so that was just a few months later. We asked him, tell me what was the most encouraging or the most memorable thing that you have from this visit there. And without a moment's hesitation, he said that there are so many other followers of Jesus. At that time, they estimated between 80 and 120 Christians in the whole of Morocco in 1974. Now, you can go to places like Fez, and there's an international church, and there are over 100 people meeting just in one church. So it's amazing to see how God has given victory in a number of these places. Now, especially Iran stands out as the place where God, in a way, started the whole new movement and revival in the Muslim world. We all, or you may not, remember in 79 when the Ayatollah Khomeini came into the country. Actually, someone had suggested, if you can't go to Pakistan, why don't you go to Iran? There are wide open doors. That was in 78. In 78, someone told me that in Pakistan when I visited. And a year later, everything was upside down. And with the Ayatollah bringing in true Islam, now there are many, many stories, for example, that they were taking propaganda posters, and on one of those posters that was taken, that they wanted, that they actually printed, the Ayatollah was mildly smiling, and when he looked at that, he said, "Just destroy all of them. Allah doesn't love laughter, and also not the smiling." And then this typical face that we know so well came through, where the Ayatollah Khomeini looks with his harsh, stern look. And it's said that nobody has done more for the extension of the gospel than the Ayatollah Khomeini. Of course, not him by sharing it, but certainly the way that he exposed true Islam. And today it's a big number. For some of you, we have copied a report by a leader from Islam, and this comes from the year 2016. The violent, fanatical, apocalyptic actions and rhetoric of the Iranian regime and the leadership of the Islamic State are causing millions of Muslims to rethink whether they want to be part of such a religion, and many of them are turning to faith in Jesus Christ. This is the assessment of Dr. Hormoz Sharia, former Muslim who came to faith in Christ himself in the early 80s. Today, Dr. Sharia is one of the most prominent Iranian Christian pastors, evangelists in the world. They are broadcasting 24/7 satellite television network. We were talking about trends that he is seeing in the Islamic world, and I left the conversation surprised by how encouraged he is. Yes, the Iranian regime and ISIS are engaged in horrific evil, but Hormoz, Pastor Hormoz, told me he sees unintended consequences of the cruelty of the Iranian and ISIS leader. That's what he said as an analysis of the trend lines in the Muslim world today. Number one, a growing number of Muslims are coming to faith in Jesus Christ because of the Islamic Republic of Iran and ISIS. The extreme actions and rhetoric of Iran's government and the ISIS leaders have caused many Muslims in the Middle East to start thinking, asking questions, wondering if Islam could really be true. This is a major spiritual breakthrough. For a person raised in the West, where approaching any issue logically and objectively is the norm, this fact may not be appreciated. Question everything is a cultural virtue in the West. But Muslims living in the Islamic world are not allowed to ask questions for their faith at all. Those who do are considered weak in their faith and sometimes are punished by lashes. Muslims are oppressed by a spirit of fear. They are afraid to read the Quran objectively or even ask sincere questions about it. Islam is based on total obedience to Allah without asking any questions. And he says, "I have had fascinating conversations over the years with Muslim scientists, which with PhDs. We have discussed everything objectively and logically until the subject turned to Islam. I could see a spirit of confusion and fear would overtake them. They could no longer discuss things based on reason. They had stopped thinking. What has caused Muslims to start questioning their faith? For Shiites, it has been the action of the Islamic Republic of Iran. For Sunnis, it is what ISIS is doing. I see similarities between the spiritual journey of Iranians for the last 35 years, living under the fear and oppression of Khomeini and Khamenei regimes, and a growing number of Sunnis in the last 2 years since ISIS became powerful. And so he continues, Iran is fast becoming the first Islamic nation that is abandoning Islam and becoming a Christian nation. Did you know that? And now Iran will be a Christian nation according to God's promise for Elam, today's Iran, in Jeremiah 49:38. This is happening even today before our very eyes. It is no longer by faith that I say Iran will be a Christian nation. It is by sight. And he continues how this happened. The younger generation, and that is under the third heading, signs, wonders, visions, dreams, and miracles are slowing down in Iran. He says the younger generation in Iran, those under 30 years old, are increasingly experiencing fewer supernatural events, even though a growing number of them are coming to faith in Christ. I believe this is because they do not need miracles in order to come to Christ. The Lord is so gracious. The older generation in Iran needs such miraculous signs because they are more oppressed by the spirit of Islam. They are initially very afraid to make a final decision to follow Christ, even when they are totally convinced of the truth of the gospel. They are captives of the spirit of Islam, which is the spirit of fear. Therefore, the Lord graciously gives them supernatural experiences to help them make that final decision. The younger generation, however, do not need such signs and wonders. Most have been raised in a family where Islam was rejected and even ridiculed, or at least it was a non-issue. The majority of youth in Iran are coming to Christ after hearing the gospel preached and the word of God taught to them because, as they frequently put it, I need salvation. Their faith is deep without even these supernatural experiences. Coming from a life of desperation and hopelessness, they greatly value the salvation and life-changing forgiveness offered by Jesus Christ. I'm so thrilled and inspired when I talk to the young believers in Iran. They are fearless. They are neither afraid of Allah nor the Iranian government. Many say, so what if they kill me? I was dead anyway. One young convert recently told me, I'm not afraid of them, the Iranian regime. They are afraid of me and my gospel message. It is out of their fear that they want to put me in jail. These young generation are ready to live for Jesus and, if necessary, to die for him. I believe that as we, the older generation of Iranian followers of Christ, set the foundation of Iran to become a Christian nation, it is this emerging young leaders who will finish the job of transforming Iran into a Christian nation. Isn't that amazing? Would any of us have thought when we watched those pictures, the Ayatollah and the frenzy of that was there like a god? That's just God has used it. And of course, from the many, many that left Iran, quite a few came to Germany, Canada, America, and so on. I have friends that I know personally because the lady went with us to Bible college for 3 years. She went to Iran, married an OM worker, man of God. When they came back to Germany in 1982, they were there at home to welcome these many, many refugees. Hundreds must have gone through their home and through camps that they gave, and each one of them was offered a Bible. And years later, when we visited, said, so how did they respond? And said, in all the years, only one ever rejected taking a Bible. All the others said, I have seen what Islam is. I want to have another answer. Let me read this. So that's absolutely amazing what is happening with Iranians. Still today, in quite a few churches in Germany, you hear a dozen Iranians were baptized over there. So many came to Christ. And that is really wonderful to see what God is doing there. So that is Iran, just this report that has happened. God is working in the context of Islamism, where radical Muslims commit horrific acts of violence in the name of Allah, where there is a loving Christian response, Muslims turn to Christ. And it's radical one. Another story that our son Yasir told me is when he came to Cairo to some leaders, church leaders. They again, like it happened to me years before, they told him about a letter that a radical Muslim had written to them and said, "Oh no, we know that guy. He has destroyed so many churches and killed Christians. We will never believe what he writes," because he had written Jesus had appeared to him and he wanted contact. So Yasir also asked for the letter, and he got a taxi and he went down south of Cairo. He told the taxi driver, was not a Christian, just to drop him there. Said, no, I know these men. I will never drop you in front of that house. We travel around it, I show it to you, but you have to go yourself. Sure enough, when he went there, rang the bell, there came this guy with his AK-47, one of the bodyguards that this Muslim leader had. "What do you want?" And he was invited in, and this Muslim leader was so happy that someone came, and he said, "Wow, you know, Jesus has appeared and I want you to baptize my whole house, all the people that are here." So slowly, it doesn't work like that in the Christian faith. Yasir actually said, you need to know what you believe in, you need to understand, you need someone who can explain the gospel to you. So he phoned a friend whom he knew is ready and willing to give himself in discipleship. Within a bit more than half an hour, they had picked up the guy exactly, so they knew exactly where to find people, brought him there, and this brother stayed for 9 months in that house. Now that is a little bit costly. I don't know how many of you would have been ready at a phone call's notice to come and to stay there. But what has happened is that this man truly has received a turnaround in his life. In the beginning, when Yasir was there, he said, "Oh, I still have some rockets in my basement, and I know exactly where the Muslim leaders are." It's not the spirit of Jesus. This man is absolutely fearless. The last story I heard is that he packed his suitcase full with Arab Bibles and he went on Hajj to Mecca to distribute Bibles. And he came back alive. He is also about 70 years old. He's not a youngster. And he said, "I was never fearful when I was a Muslim and did all these attacks. Why should I be fearful now that I know Jesus?" He also had this contact over to Libya with a number of the ISIS people there, and the message got out, and our son Yasir has been secretly a few times over in Libya to baptize ISIS men that have come out of that deception to follow Jesus Christ. So God is at work, that's what I'm saying. We don't need to read that in the Sun or listen to it at BBC. This is something that can just stay amongst us as the people of God, but if it were not my son, I would certainly not believe it. I thought it was made up, but I know him a bit too well to trust that. So it's amazing what God has been doing over there. Algeria, since the 1980s. There were the Berber people in the mountain area that realized that Jesus is interested in them. As I read in one article once, the Berber people, they never were appreciated for who they are. The Quran was never translated into their language. They were just Arabized not given the same rights as the Arabs who took over the rule. And so there has been a longing. Of course, it's also the work of people like Charles Marsh, who was a missionary there in the Berber Kabyle Mountain area. You can read the books. He was an amazing missionary, one of the most bold people. And that tract that we have here, What Do You Think of the Messiah, is just a chapter from his book that was published soon after his death, I believe. And his daughter went back to Europe and was broadcasting radio broadcasts from Marseille and from Spain into this region. And one after the other came to the Lord. And it worked out in a way that they really lost all fear. I'm told by people that have been there just recently that the Christians now are so bold, they are not meeting behind closed windows. They open the windows, and there is not a single village in the whole Kabyle Mountain area where there are not some Christians now. So that's also an amazing story as well. Several thousand have turned to Christ. And similar things are happening in Afghanistan today, I'm told. I don't have details of that. There are books written like this, A Wind in the House of Islam by David Garrison, that is pointing out that compared with what happened before 1975 and since then, and especially since the beginning of this new century or millennium, there are so many movements in Africa, in Central Asia, and all these places, that it's really amazing. How should we respond to radical Islam? Number one, pray for ISIS leaders who are motivated, misled into jihad, that we are not governed by fear. Listen to former ISIS fighter. I think that is not really working anyway. So God is at work through visions, dreams, God's mercy. Pray that God may push back the forces of evil with his peace. Persecution to propel the gospel in power across the entire region, and God's presence to fill each grieving heart with comfort and peace. I suggest, I'm not finishing with that, but that we just turn to one another, two together, and we just pray two and two, taking up some of this or other news that you are aware of, where God is at work, praising him, thanking him, and praying for our brothers and sisters in that situation. Let's just do that for a few minutes. May you be praised and honored and magnified in the Muslim countries through your people, so that they may bring glory to your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Well, if you're not encouraged enough, let me just take you a little bit further to encourage you more what God is doing here in Africa. As I said, 2 months ago, we had our partners together, and Brother Wupshit from Ethiopia came with this report. Wupshit is officially employed by the Kale Yuet Word of Life Church. That's a SIM-started church since 1929. They estimate that they have about 11 million believers throughout Ethiopia. They have sent out missionaries to Pakistan and even to China and to South Sudan and all over. There is really an enormous mission drive going on. Now, what he said is that Islam, the second largest religion in Ethiopia, about 35%, that's what it was for many years already. Orthodox Christians, 43%, if not a bit less by now. And then the Protestant Christians are growing more and more, that they are at least 20% now, 2% others. Yeah, it's Ethiopia called the island of Christianity. To some extent, it's true. 15 times Muslim countries tried to conquer it, but they didn't succeed. The surrounding country, they surrounded the country with Muslims, many Muslims in the country. So why is it still that the Christian faith is there? What Muslims are doing in Ethiopia, that is true in many other places throughout Africa, grabbing land in the name of investment. A lot of Al-Shabaab money is brought into Kenya, money laundering, and they buy half a road, all the houses, and Christians don't stand a chance because they pay three times as much as the normal market value is, controlling the economy of the country. Most places of the federal authorities going into the hand of Muslims, Wupshet said, opening Islamic schools which are incubating radicalism, terrorists paying money to convert to Islam, depending how prominent the Christian, if it's a son of a preacher or even a bishop, then they are paid more to deceive that daughter or that son, destroying churches, persecuting, killing Christians, free training of Islamic military and taekwondo everywhere in the country, including in the mosques. Now that's something a little bit new. I hadn't heard about taekwondo being taught in the mosque. But yeah, otherwise, so it doesn't look very, very encouraging, but there we are. There are these Somalis, this part here used to be known as Ogaden. It's called Region 5 these days. And of course, from Somalia, I'm talking about this one here, Diridaba and so on, and the Afar people. So there are a majority of Somalis. Harar is like the Mecca of Ethiopia. And our daughter's family actually comes from Harar. There are very, very, very few Christians from there. There are missionaries in Diridawa working amongst Somalis. The first believers have come from the Afar now, turning to Christ. And the present president is finally from the Oromia people here, south of Addis Ababa. Almost 50% of population come from them, and in the past it was always the Amhara people that were in charge of it. So that has helped for more peace, and he has especially also worked towards reconciliation. So that's the Word of Life Church, EKHC. They have been having a chair on ministry to Muslims for a number of years. And I still remember in 92, when I was there for the first time, there was very, very little being done. And then our mission leaders from SIM organized that literature would be translated into Amharic, that we had seminars where they insisted that the churches have to send husband and wife as a representative to be trained for 10 days. We had practical outreach. We had a presentation at the end where the husband was giving tools to his wife, who was doing the presentation. It was quite something new. And then they went back and they brought them together half a year later. What have you shared? How have you taken the church along with you? It was amazing when we came back a year later, the stories that we heard. We just couldn't believe it, and we were greatly humbled to think that in just 10 days of sharing the little bit that we could, with translator and everything, not directly, God had used that in such a mighty way. I think of the one brother who came back and talked with others, said, yes, we really need to do something. They said, let's go to Puttattira, not far away from the area where we had been. And they boarded the taxi. They said, we want to visit Muslims. And what do you want to do? The taxi driver was a Muslim. He was so angry that he pulled off even before they were fully in the car. That brother, his leg was rolled over by the taxi and almost had to be amputated. He was in bed for 3 months. And scores of Muslim leaders came to his bed and said, we are sorry, this is not what actually should happen. And said, well, I have already forgiven him in Jesus' name. And as soon as he could walk on crutches, he went out to visit Muslims from door to door to share the love of Christ with them. It's not surprising when Muslims come to Christ with such kind of commitment and love. And we really admire the Ethiopian Christians for their resilience, for their willingness to suffer. And today, in this very place, Puttattira, there is a training center for MBBs. These are all former Muslims that have come to Christ. Men, the baptism, where they take them along to have them all baptized. They have a women's ministry, leaders of the women's Muslim background believer program. They go with them for half a year, and they said, you must come and do some training for Daughters of Abraham, the program that my wife is doing. Isn't that wonderful? God bringing out. One of the missionaries told me between here, Addis Ababa, and down Lake Langado, there's hardly a village, a place where there are not some Muslims that have come to Christ. But what they did in Ethiopia is that they had a sports friend ministry with this huge amount of unemployment. They would just go, oh, you want to kick a ball with us? Come. And they play soccer. Said, what are you doing on Saturday? Oh, we are meeting. Want to come? Come. And they were becoming part of a youth ministry, and literally thousands were baptized. 4,350 Muslim women came to Christ in the past 3 years, he told us. That's 8 weeks ago when he came with his report. 17 full-time Muslim background believer women evangelists. 57 have graduated, 30 are under training. They have built a training center, received some help from outside. Isn't that amazing? No. So it's right here. Puttattira is the place. In 6 years, he says, in the last 6 years, 450 have graduated, 38,000 new converts, 3,000 baptized, 90 almost new churches, 240 who are full-time in mission field.
Sure. God is good.
Wow. God is great, yes. God is great in what he is doing. Now you probably will understand why I'm encouraged as a missionary to Muslims. Yes, it is sometimes hard work. But it's God's time.
Amen.
It's God's time to bring Muslims to himself in so many countries, in different ways. And we just need to be available to help them further on in the first steps and then to grow in faith. So I thought I need to share that. You will not get that PowerPoint from me. It's just take it in and just rejoice with us. All these plans that they have, financial constraints. That's Brother Wupshet, who was with us 2 months ago, and his family. Okay, that's it. So.